Before we do go to prayer, let's look into the scripture this evening. We need to strengthen our hearts, and I know no other place, a better place to do it than the good word of God. In fact, that's our discussion for the evening, the good word of God. And it might be, Lord willing, the next several Wednesdays. But we're looking in the book of Isaiah this evening. Chapter 55 is our place. And we'll start with verse 11. And there the Lord is speaking. And Isaiah 55, verse 11, the verse is, "So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." I visited a bit with Mark last night, Mark Dodson, and we both, I guess, pleasantly surprised and encouraged, too, to find that we've been thinking on how good the Bible is, how good the Word of God is, and how good of God to give it to us. And those extended thoughts can lead you off and think, well, thank God for the Jews. And I'm serious about that. I mean, we owe them a fantastic debt. You know, when Paul talks about what advantage has the Jew, what's his first answer? Yeah, but what does he say? How about to them was given the oracles of God?
Okay.
It's a trick question, I'm sorry. And you're right, there's other answers, depending on which letter you're in. They're all good, aren't they? Okay, let me start over again. Paul says that, you know, why even have a Jew? Why even be Jewish? What's the point? And he says, well, God did speak to them. God did give them his word. And when the New Testament follows this up, and the New Testament adds to this and says that holy men were moved. They were moved by the Spirit of God. That's a fantastic statement. And you know how tremendous it is when you feel a little prick in your conscience or a little stirring in your heart, and just to respond to that sometimes might take everything within you. Just to go and do what you think. Maybe the Lord said something to me. Maybe I'm supposed to write this letter or call this person or speak to that guy or stop and help that fellow on the road. And on I go. You know, sometimes the battle you have, but then it says, and these men were moved by the Spirit, carried along, and God was speaking within them, and through their personalities and thoughts and their mind comes forth something that we know to be absolutely pure, without fault, without flaw, and we can read it and stake our lives upon it, and it's thank God for what he's done. The Word of God, it is so wonderful. Now, there are one of the good things about it, and this is what helps us when we go to pray, is that there are promises within the Scripture, promises that speak to this and that and the other, promises that address individuals, promises that address the whole church, promises that speak about what God's going to do, what is yet before us, and the good that's coming. For instance, look at verse 12. You will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. That's sweet, isn't it? Verse 13, let me finish verse 12. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign. Everlasting. These are promises that are going to hold good forever. A sign which will not be cut off. If you look down in chapter 56, there's verses about Gentiles. That means there's verses about you and me. The foreigners, verse 6, who join themselves to the Lord. That's you. To minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. What's he going to do? Verse 7, I'll bring them to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. All right. Great, great, good, glorious promises that abound in the Scriptures. We could spend the rest of our lives talking about this, couldn't we? And so, it is doubly good when we find in the Scripture promises that are in the Word about the Word. Promises, for instance, that He will not lie. Promises that He is able to do what He has said. Promises that His promises will come true. And so, what does He say? Verse 11, my word, it goes forth from my mouth. It's not going to return to me empty. It will not return empty. Puzzle over that for a while. Mull over that. Give that some thought. And maybe this idea will come to you that what one thing the Lord is saying, one thing, is that it is not an empty word. It's not a false word or vain word. For instance, are you familiar with the phrase, oh, someone's words have come back to haunt him? Or your words, my words have come back to bite me. They have come back, in other words. They're circling back around, and it's proving something about the one who spoke them. Now, I shouldn't have said it, or I had no basis upon which to make such a grand pronouncement, or I promise something and I can't do it, and it comes back and stares me in the face and proves me to be an empty deceiver or a liar or a braggart or whatever. Oh, and we won't ask for a show of hands of those whose words have come back to haunt them a bit. Maybe it was just an ill-advised statement, and you mull over it later and you think, oh, James was right. You know, if a man can control this, he's a perfect man, and I'm not a perfect man, and I've just proven it to myself. My words have come back to haunt me. What does the Lord say? My words are going to come back, what? And He puts it in a negative form. They're not going to be empty. They're not going to come back without accomplishing what I desire, without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. He puts it in the negative. Let's restate this. Let's turn this around. My words are going to come back. All right. And when they do, they're going to be full. Full of all that I sent them out to do. They will have accomplished everything that I intended. They will succeed in the matter for which I sent them. Now look at verse 12. Now what do you think about that statement? It's going to come back. It will not come back empty. God's people are going to go out with joy. They are going to be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills are going to break forth into shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field are going to clap their hands. This is a universal picture of absolute, unspeakable, unshakable joy. And the Lord says, and my words will accomplish this. Now, it starts verse 11. Sir, I've got to turn the page back. I don't know about you. Probably not. These new Bibles are so inconvenient, aren't they? But it says, so, which has reference to what He's just said. So will my word be. And I turn the page back to verse 10, and here's the illustration. The Lord uses a for example. And He said, it's like this. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be. Now, this is an agricultural picture, or a, what's another word for that? It is, what are the weather guys? They are it's a weather story. The rain comes down, the snow comes down, they water the earth. Eventually it evaporates, right? It goes back up from whence it came, it goes up into the heavens, it condenses, it makes clouds, the cycle starts all over again. And so it comes down, it does what it's coming to do. I wish it would come down more, but what did you get? Did you get any rain? We got about that much. Our leaves got wet in our driveway. Now, I'll tell you about Tyler in just a moment. But the purpose, what he is saying is, look at the clouds, look at the rains, look at the snows, think about this. They have their purpose. It's a cycle that blesses and inundates the earth and makes it productive. You know, if your grass is withering, it's because there's not enough rainfall. If it's growing so lush you can't keep up with it, your mower, it's because there is so much rainfall. It is this cycle, and it comes down and blesses the earth. He's saying my word is like that. It comes down and it does what I want it to do. It will go forth and accomplish what I've sent it to do. And again, it will not return empty, just like the earth, which is bearing and sprouting and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And it's that which God is doing in his providential mercy. He's been good to us. But think about rains. Sometimes it rains a lot. Sometimes a little. Sometimes none, right? Billy tells me this interesting statistic about, yes, she heard this yesterday, that they were reporting that Tyler had 9/10 of an inch of rain. That's a good rain. And they said it hadn't rained in 26 days before that. Now, do you think the Word of God is something like this picture, this meteorological picture that the prophet is using and the Lord speaking through him? Sometimes we have the steady little gentle rains of God's word as it's faithfully preached in the pulpits and lecterns and the hallways and classrooms and private residences all over the land. And it's bearing fruit. It may not be an inundating rain, but it is bearing fruit. It's coming down and it's going to accomplish what God has sent it to do. Sometimes there is a famine for hearing the word of the Lord, isn't there? Just like we see in nature, when it just stops raining. And then other times, I think one reason we have some of these torrential downpours is the Lord is just saying, now you see what I can do. I can gather the clouds around you. I can make them park over you. I can make them rain so hard that it will be, you get a year's worth of rain in one session. Now, I've been reading the stories of some of these Scottish preachers, and one man who just did not want to go into the pulpit. It was a Monday. They had this real nice, long, protracted season of taking the Lord's Supper there in Scotland, and they'd had some blessing. They'd had the gentle downpouring of the rain, as it were. Using that illustration, that word was preached, it had been doing some good, there had been some blessing. They asked this young man an unusual way to preach on Monday. And he thought, with all these famous preachers here, I have no business even being in the pulpit. It's Monday. This whole thing should be over. I think I'll run away. He goes out in the field and he's praying about this, and he's just about formed the opinion that he'd run off and just steal away and vacate the pulpit. Someone else will do it. And he's convicted about that, and he goes back and he says, all right, I'll preach. And suddenly, the Spirit of God comes upon this man. And for an hour and a half at least, he just exhorts this large congregation that's still there on a Monday. And this is where they said, they trace 500 conversions to this one sermon. And now that's an outpouring of the Spirit. That is a downpour like a cloudburst, isn't it? And when the Word of God came, just like the Lord said to his servant, it did not return to him empty. It accomplished what he desired. It succeeded in the matter for which he sent it. And he was just a preacher boy. He was a young fellow. And by the way, the next time he stood in the pulpit a day or so later, he just fell completely flat on his face, and he's just terrible. He was utterly deserted. And so it just proved that God was there. God does this. He sends his word, and it goes forth and accomplishes what he wants it to do. Now, if the Lord helps us and chooses us for us to do this, then we have a lot of places in the Scripture that speak about the Word of God coming to us. And every one of them is precious. And it's the kind of thing that we can hold on to and say, oh, Lord, you can do this. You have done this before. Look at the good that comes from it when it comes to the people of God. Open the windows of heaven. Open the door for the gospel. Send forth your word. May it come and run and accomplish all that you sent it to do. But as we think about the Sunday services, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and the next Sunday morning, and the next Sunday evening, and the following, you see, we should ask, oh Lord, send your word, that it might not return to you empty, that it might accomplish all you desire and succeed in the matter for which you sent it. Okay. We've got a lot to pray about. Let's pray.